So, let's look at our lives this morning, at our character, and at our heart. So if you look at yourself this morning, would you say that you are who you are today by the grace of God? So if you look back on the person that you were, and you look at who you are today, have you come all of that way by the grace of God? Have you accepted God's grace over your life? Have you allowed God's grace to change you from what you were into what you are today? God wants to transform us into the likeness of His Son Jesus every day more and more. If I look at my own life in time slices, I can truly say that I see God's grace in all of those time slices. Sometimes in hindsight, it's not always pleasant, but looking back, you can see God working throughout my life through the grace that He lavished on me. At school, I was an extreme introvert. I didn't have a lot of friends. I couldn't speak in front of people. I was terrified of speaking oral in class. Afrikaans, English, was all just an extremely scary event for me. Excuse me. So, yeah, it was crazy. I don't know if anybody can relate. I mean, who here did like to speak oral? Let me ask the question differently. Thomas, you look like a guy that loves orals. Yeah, you and me both. Okay, I don't see any hands. It doesn't look like anybody here really enjoyed speaking oral at school. Even after school, while I was studying, I was still kind of a loner. So after my classes finished on a Friday, I would lock myself in my room and play computer games the whole weekend through alone until Monday morning when it was time to go to class again. So I enjoyed my own company. I enjoyed being alone. I didn't really enjoy being around people. I couldn't carry a conversation in a group. It was terrifying if there were more like two people around me. I didn't know where to look, what to say. I had no points of contact or connection with anybody. Terrifying. But then, 17 years ago, I encountered Jesus. And at the time, at that event or that particular point in time, I got a prophecy that I would one day be in ministry. So, where I was at that point, I didn't see that happening in my life at all. I couldn't see myself speaking in front of people. I couldn't see myself being comfortable with a microphone. And I'm still not comfortable with this microphone, just by the way. I'm still a little bit scared. I may just hide it well, by the grace of God. At that point, I wouldn't have thought that I would ever stand before people with a microphone in my hand, speaking the word of God. But God, His grace started changing me slowly but surely, bit by bit. Now, I do have my heavy in this meeting. He can attest to the changes that both of us, I think, have walked out across the many years that we've known each other, 21, 22 years now. And I am a changed person today. I'm able to deliver this message over this microphone to, well, not a very packed hall this morning, but thank you, COVID. But that by the grace of God alone. So I can honestly say that I am who I am this morning by the grace of God. I would not have been this person I am today if it wasn't for the grace of God. So this is what Paul says on this topic. in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Anybody wants to page there? I'll leave it hanging for a second. By the way, who has ever read this verse in the Bible? Because I've read 1 Corinthians a number of times. I've read through the Bible. But this, when I read this verse a couple of weeks ago, it felt like the very first time I'd ever seen this verse. You know how that works, the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, says Paul. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Paul is very honest and serious when he writes this. He used to be a different person altogether before he had his encounter with God. So let's just have a quick look at his former life before he encountered Jesus. Galatians 1, verse 13 to 16. It's up on the board, but you're welcome to page there as well. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. So that's just a picture painted by Paul himself of his former life before he met Jesus and before he had God's grace change his life completely. How amazing is that? He even got a name change. Like you know, he used to be called Saul, and after encountering Jesus, he was called Paul. So talk about a transformation of a life after encountering Jesus. Sure. That is a testimony of God's grace right there. Paul goes on to say, and this is like the most beautiful verse, Paul goes on to say that God's grace toward him was not in vain. Now, who wouldn't want to say that about yourself? God's grace toward me, Bernard, was not in vain. God didn't pour out all his grace, send his son Jesus, for me not to accept it and not to walk in anything that he has for me. I would like to say that God's grace towards me was not in vain. John Newton, the author of the song Amazing Grace, said it as follows. I know Mandy has quoted this before, so some of you may know this. It says, he said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world, but still, I am not what I once was. And that, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Isn't that beautiful? I love that quote. Mandy's used it before, but she always uses the shortened version. I'm not who I ought to be, but I'm not who I used to be. Paul allowed God's grace to propel him into God's ministry, into walking out the plans that God had for Paul's life. From that moment that Paul encountered Jesus, he made a change. He accepted the grace that God had for him. He laid down his life, everything that he had worked for. And like we saw in Galatians, he climbed the corporate ladder, so to speak. He was excelling in his job, his day job of persecuting Christians. He climbed the ladder higher than a number of his other peers at the time. He was more zealous than many of his brothers. So he was really making it in the business world, in the corporate world, until Jesus called him. And he laid everything down. And he made a choice to follow God wholeheartedly. He accepted the grace God put on him. And he changed his life. Of the 27 books in the New Testament, at least 13 is attributed to Paul. One or two is contentious, like Hebrews. If you count in Hebrews, it's 14 books that have been attributed to Paul. So that's about half the whole New Testament was written by this one guy that used to persecute Christians. He was also known as the apostle to the Gentiles, instrumental in bringing the message of the gospel to the non-Hebrews of the day. Which counts us as well, because we are non-Hebrews. If we had lived at that time, we wouldn't have heard the gospel if it wasn't for Paul and his ministry that Jesus has put on him. So there's no denying that Paul did God's ministry. That's what he was called to. So if I ask you today, now, who is doing the work of God's ministry today? What would you say? Preachers, pastors, priests, missionaries, dominies. Is that what you'd say? You'd be correct. But is that where it ends? Are they the only people set apart for God's ministry? Let's see what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. And God, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, fivefold ministry, five gifts God gave to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So who's being equipped for the work of ministry? The saints. That's God's design. That's the blueprint. That's the plan. That's why he gave gifts to the church. So it's not only the apostles, prophets, evangelists, missionaries, shepherds, teachers. It's not only they that do God's ministry. Those gifts have been given to the church to equip the saints for ministry. So who are the saints? Any guesses who the saints are? Is it the guy standing behind the pulpit holding the mic with his knees knocking a little bit? It's all of us. We are the saints. So God is calling all of us to do the ministry. He's calling all of us to embrace the grace he has for us, changing our lives, drawing us forth, shaping us into the shape of his son, so that we all can do what we are called to do, so that we can all walk in the ministry God has for us. In the Old Testament, only certain tribes were called to be priests before God. We know the Levites were a tribe of priests, were called, set apart. But today, under the new covenant, we are all called to be priests. that's also one of Josh Chen's core values, that we are all to be part of the priesthood of all believers. We are all seen as priests unto God. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says the following: "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." There we go. We are all being built into a house to be a holy priesthood, all of us, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And also 1 Peter 2 verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood." Another reference. All of us are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a people for His own possession, that we may all proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us all out of darkness and into His marvelous light. How awesome is that verse? I'm going to read it again over all of us. "But we all are a chosen race. We are all a royal priesthood. We are all called to serve as priests before God." Tying it into my opening scripture. It's not only Paul that was called, that was transformed by God's grace. It's not only Paul that needs to say, "God's grace over my life was not in vain." All of us were called to be priests, a royal priesthood, all of us a holy nation, all of us a people for His own possession, that we all may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called all of us out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. Yeah, I like that verse. Goosebumps. Just like Paul wrote in that verse, in 1 Corinthians 15:10, we must accept God's changing grace in our lives. God's changing grace does not leave us where He found us. Thank God for that. He changes us and He brings us all the more into the image of His Son Jesus. Just like Paul, we must give Jesus all the glory for who we are. We must be able to give Jesus all the glory for who we are. For we must be able to say, "I am what I am, only by the grace of God." If you look back at who you were and you look at your life today and you're not any better for it, then you've missed God's grace over your life. And we should honestly look at ourselves and be able to say, "God's grace over my life was not in vain." I'm going to close with the same verse that I opened with. But I want you all to put your names in that verse. So I'm going to give it 5 seconds, 10 seconds, just for you to look at your life. Look back at who you were. Look at where you are now. And if you can honestly say this, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. If I wrote this verse for myself: "But by the grace of God, I, Bernard, am what I am. And His grace toward me, Bernard, was not in vain." I'm going to read that again for myself while you do it for yourselves. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. But by the grace of God, I, Bernard, am what I am. And his grace towards me, Bernard, was not in vain. Now looking back, I can honestly say this. I've taken stock of where my life is today, of how I used to be. I gave you a quick 2-minute testimony when we started. There's so much more. I mean, my journey wasn't only that. There were many, many different things. But I can honestly say, God's grace over my life has not been in vain. And I'm not saying that out of pride. I'm saying that out of a place of absolute humility. Because in myself, I would never have been able to do any of this, was it not for God and His grace over my life.